Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
So I've had my moments, and if I had to do it over again, I'd have more of them. In fact, I try to have nothing else, just moments, one after another.
The bucket list. We're supposed to make a list of all the things we wanted to do in our lives before we kick the bucket.
Come on! I'm Jim Burns. Well, the breathless pace of modern living can leave you feeling overcommitted and underconnected. And more you go through the motions of your daily routine, well, the less likely you're going to have positive change for the better. Well, on today's edition of Homeward, I want to ask you to answer one simple question. Will the way you are living today allow you to die without any regrets? What a question. Well, pastor and author Carrie Shook is with us here in studio today to encourage us to approach our lives as if we had only 1 month to live. 30 days to a no-regrets life is our topic, so stay with us for a very thought-provoking look at what your daily routine says about your real priorities.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Today we're going to revisit a conversation that we actually recorded a couple of years ago with Carrie Shook. And since we have recorded this program, we've gone through a little bit of a personal upheaval here in the Homeward family, where these words are a lot more pertinent to all of us involved in it. 30 days to a no regrets life is the theme today. Carrie and his wife Chris are the authors of the book 1 Month to Live, and if you want to have an attitude adjustment, you don't have to wait for someone to have a heart attack or a stroke or actually to pass away in your life. You can take these principles to heart and put them into practice into your life, and that's what we hope to encourage you with in the conversation today. Now with part one of today's program, here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. I've been waiting for this for a long time. Carrie Shook is with us today. We're talking about keys to making each day matter. He's written a wonderful book along with his wife, Chris, 1 Month to Live, 30 Days to a No Regrets Life. It came in. I started reading it. And you know what? It's probably been the book of the year for me. I have loved this book. Carrie is the senior pastor of Fellowship of the Woodlands, which is in Houston, Texas, one of the fastest growing churches in America. He has written this book along with his wife, Chris, which is their first book together. Carrie Shook Ministries is a worldwide television ministry as well, with broadcasts that are local, national, international. Married for nearly 25 years and have four children. Welcome to our program.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be with you.
Well, I have been looking forward to this for a long time. We were talking before the program that this book has really been meaningful to me. I use it as my devotion. So I read it. I'd read scripture. I'd do the one-year Bible, and then I'd go to 1 Month to Live, and I'd read one little section of it, and it's really been great.
Good. I'm so glad.
Well, you are encouraging everyone to take what you call a 30-day challenge. I want you to talk about what happened when you took the 30-day challenge yourself first.
Yeah. Well, about a year and a half ago, Jim, my wife and I really started formulating in our hearts these principles that we put in the book. We'd studied the life of Christ, and Jesus knew when he had 30 days to live, and most of us won't know when we're down to our last month, our last several months, but Jesus knew when he had 30 days to the cross. And then we'd also been with so many people like you have at the end of their life, being in ministry for over 20 years, and we just began to notice they would say things they always wanted to say. They would do the things they'd always wanted to do. It seemed like they would take more risks, and they would forgive others, and freely give forgiveness and receive forgiveness. And they just had a whole new clarity on their priorities. And so Chris and I just began to ask, why wait? Why can't we live this way now? And so we've been asking every day for the last year and a half what we now call the clarifying question: what would you do if you had 1 month to live? And it's really uncluttered our overcrowded schedules. It's helped us really focus on the things that matter most. And, you know, for me, it's been all about making changes in my own life, and that God's used it in other people's lives. That's a great thing. But it really started in my life and in my wife, Chris's life.
Well, that's wonderful. And it is a clarifying question. My father passed away a couple of months ago. And I remember a woman named Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, not necessarily a strong Christian from that standpoint, but she studied death and dying. And she said, when people are getting ready to die, there are two issues. She said they could be believers or non-believers. And again, she's not necessarily talking about Christians. She's just talking about anybody. They want a right relationship with God and a right relationship with their loved ones. And pretty much they lay aside worry. They have gratitude, all these things that, you know, that you talk about. And I watched my dad do that in a way. He wasn't talking about, you know, what was going on in the stock market as he began to fade. He wasn't talking about what his past business life was like or whatever. You know, he was talking about the important things. It was his relationship with God. It was his relationship with his family. It seems so simple, but it's not easy to do because a lot of families that we're talking with here at Homeward, you know, they're just trying to get by Friday.
Oh,
I mean,
exactly.
They're juggling and you've got four teenagers. So, I mean, so you know that story. How do you put aside some of the busyness and the juggling and the craziness to literally focus on what we're talking about?
Well, Jim, my wife, Chris, and I have four teenagers, and we're just a really normal family. And so I know that your listeners are like us. They have very busy, hectic schedules. And it's so easy to be distracted by all these things that are urgent and maybe not so important. I had a dear friend of mine several months ago come up to me and say, "Carrie, the cancer's back, and the doctor just told me I have 6 weeks left to live." And I said, "Oh, Jimmy, I'm so sorry." I said, "We're going to pray for you, and the whole church is going to pray for you." And he said, "Well, really, I need to pray for you, and I need to pray for the whole church." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, I have such a peace." He said, "I'm no longer distracted by life. It's amazing the peace God's given me, but also I know exactly what I need to do now. I know exactly what I need to focus on over the next few weeks, and I pray God gives me many more weeks and years, but if he doesn't, I know what I'm supposed to do." And he said, "I need to pray for you and the church because it's so easy to get distracted by life." And that's the way I was until I got that news.
You know, you called something the someday syndrome. You know, it's people who are kind of waiting for something to happen, you know, someday. When you're looking at 30 days to live, even though hopefully it'll be 30 plus years, et cetera, that someday syndrome is a problem, isn't it?
Oh, Chris and I were always stuck, Jim, in the someday syndrome. We would say, someday when our kids get a little older, it's going to be easier. We're really going to do the things that matter most. Someday when things slow down. That was what we said a lot.
Right.
Because it's so easy to get caught up in maybe trying to build the big business or build the bank account or whatever it may be and forget that what you're really doing is invest in the lives of the people around you, especially your kids.
Yeah, and that's so right. And it all of a sudden, it makes them work. But at the same time, you have to be intentional about it. You mentioned the idea of rest and kind of putting things aside or putting it together. And in the book, I noticed that you were spending some time saying, you know, we need regular rest. You talked about, you know, the Sabbath, which literally in Hebrew just simply means rest. When you're juggling, I mean, how do you do that? I mean, how do you intentionally take that time away? I mean, even somebody like yourself, Carrie or Chris, you know, you're busy with these kids. How do you find that time to do it?
Well, there's a chapter in the book, Jim, called Oxygen Mask.
I love that chapter.
We've all heard the flight attendant say that in case of a loss of cabin pressure, make sure you put your oxygen mask on first before you help anyone else around you and your children. And the whole point is you can't help someone if you're passed out. And I think so many times, moms especially, and Chris has been there many times where you're constantly meeting someone else's needs. You're constantly doing everything for your kids and you forget to take care of yourself. And really, it's an unselfish thing to take care of yourself, because if you feed yourself spiritually, if you can just find a little bit of time to have that quiet time, and you can find a little bit of time for peace and quiet, and that's so hard to do when you're a parent of a preschooler.
But
if you can make and create some God space and some time for yourself, then it fills you up so that you can give back to your family.
Right. No, you're right. You know, I had a woman say to me one time, I was speaking in Hawaii. You know, they said, "Can you come and speak in Hawaii?" I said, "Let me pray about it." Sure.
Yeah. You bet.
And after it was over, and her husband was a very famous man who you would know, and he had had an affair within the Christian world and not a good news, you know, another decade. And she came up to me and she said, "Jim, you have a burning passion to reach young people and families, don't you?" And I said, "I do." She said, "Untended fires soon become nothing but a pile of ashes." She said, "I think God wants me to tell you that," which is always kind of scary when somebody comes up to you and says, you know, God has something. Yeah. But if we don't tend the fire within us, that's exactly what you're saying. Yeah. Then we're going to be a pile of ashes. We're going to be a lousy husband or a wife. We're going to be a poor parent because we're going to be so exhausted. But the world is getting a faster pace. And what you're saying is, no, stop. The concept of the 30-day thing is incredible. Now, you share a story about taking your sons to an amusement park that I just laughed out loud.
Yeah. Well, they love roller coasters. And even my wife loves roller coasters. And I used to love roller coasters, but I've gotten a little older now, and I'm not too into them anymore. But one day I took my kids to a theme park, and they brought their friends. And this was when they were, you know, young teenagers, and there was no one there that day. And so they just rode and rode and rode, and I rode with them. And, you know, every time we would get off the roller coaster, they would say, "Oh, man, that was wild. I'm about to throw up. Let's do it again."
Kids,
and I go, "You're kidding," you know. And I'm not very passionate about roller coasters, but I'm passionate about my kids. And I love seeing them smile. I love seeing them get excited. I mean, I love that day. And I think that's the way God is with us, that he loves to see his kids passionate, doing the things that we're called to do. And that's one of the reasons we wrote the book, to help people find their life passion. But you can't skip over your family to change the world.
Yeah, that makes so
and,
much sense.
Yeah, too many times we as Christian leaders, you know, we want to do something big for God, and we try to skip over our family, over the things that God's put right in our path, the most important thing.
It's interesting, isn't it, as you think about those what look like obstacles, sometimes that is the ministry that God's putting there, and he has to put it right in our way so nothing else will matter, because we have to deal with that first and foremost. Kerry Shook is with us today here on the Homeward broadcast, and he's the author of the book, 1 Month to Live, about an experiment that they wandered through with their congregation, and this is just kind of a priorities adjustment that we highly recommend here. We've got a link to it on our website today as well. Also, for us as parents who are thinking in terms of, gosh, I want to make my family's spiritual growth more of a priority, and yet we don't do a very good job of that, Dr. Jim Burns has written a book called Faith Conversations for Families. That's one that you will really benefit from, because you don't have to have seminary training to actually do good theology in the home, especially in imparting those lessons to your kids. For complete details on how to order a copy of the book as you support the ministry of Homeward, visit us online today at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Oh, this crossword is so frustrating.
Need any help?
Yeah, it's one of those multiple answer deals.
Oh.
First clue is the highest standard, 7 letters.
Seven-letter word for the highest.
Mm-hmm.
How about quality?
Hey, it fits.
All right.
Okay, second part of the clue, a system of measuring duration, 4 letters.
Measuring duration.
Yeah.
Hey, wouldn't that be time?
Hey, right.
Okay, so the answer is quality time. What does that mean?
Well, it's what I really need from you, Dad.
Well, at least he got the answers right. We live at a breathless pace at times. Overcommitment and fatigue are two of the greatest distractions from doing our job as parents. Well, your children need time. Your children need attention. Well, here's my advice from experience. Quit working so hard. Save some of your energy for yourself and your family. By the way, Dad, for a free tip sheet called 10 Commandments for the Absent Father Syndrome, go to homeward.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. Keys to Making Each Day Matter. Kerry Shook with us. Kerry is the senior pastor of Fellowship of the Woodlands Church. It's one of the fastest growing churches in America. It's in Houston, Texas. He is also the head, of course, of Kerry Shook Ministries. It's a worldwide ministry that broadcasts local, national, and international. Seen in 50 states, 200 countries worldwide. Married to his beautiful wife. I saw her yesterday. She's not here with us today, but beautiful wife, 25 years, and 4 teenagers. That's just almost miraculous to have 4 teenagers and you be
well,
you know,
sitting
here.
It's miraculous to have such a beautiful wife. It's God's mercy, that's for sure. But right, I'm still going strong. You know,
for me, the teenage years, I absolutely loved it. You know, I was a youth pastor in another life, and I loved the teenage years with my girls. I've got a 24, 22, 20 now. But it was also a little bit humbling because, you know, Dad was really cool in their mind, you know, at like 6, 7, 8, even up to like about 12. But as soon as I got teenagers, I mean, they put up with me if I'd take them to a place like this amusement park we were talking about before.
Yeah.
But there are also times when they just didn't think Dad was as cool as Dad thought he was.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It is humbling.
They tell it like it is. And Jim, when we first started living this 1 month to live lifestyle, first thing I did was go to my 2 oldest teenage boys. And I said, guys, I really want to have a deeper relationship with you. You know, we've kind of settled for superficiality. Yeah. I mean, they're guys and I'm a guy. And I'd come home from work and I'd say, how was your day, guys? And they'd say, oh, great.
Yeah.
You know, how was your day, Dad? Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
And I said, I want more than that. I want to know your struggles and your stresses and the things you're going through. And they said, well, you never tell us yours, Dad.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I didn't think you needed me to dump my stresses on you. You've got enough of your own in high school. And I said, we can handle it, Dad.
Yeah.
So every Thursday at 3 o'clock, Jim, I started meeting them at their favorite restaurant. I'd have the chili cheese fries and the Cokes ready, and they'd come in and their eyes would light up and they'd say, how was your day, Dad? And I'd say, well, it really stunk, boys. You know, and they'd love that.
I'd
tell them the stresses I was going through, and they would tell me theirs. And it just took us to a whole new level. We'd pray together. We'd talk about deeper things. And we just had settled for superficiality. Chris and I always had good intentions, but we were never very intentional until we started living this way.
Isn't that interesting? And the word is
is intentional. And it's also authentic. You know, I think sometimes we're afraid that if we say to our kids, hey, we're having a tough day, that they're not going to respect us or we're not going to be good models. In fact, they haven't had good days too at times, and they need to see dad open like that. To do that is, I mean, you get the Homeward Award of the Year for doing that, because we're trying to get moms and dads to spend relational time with your kids in that, and we're more intentional too. And every moment with them isn't going to be amazing. I mean, these are teenagers, or they're, you know, young, but that relationship long-term, they're going to look back at those times and those chili cheese fries if they can handle chili cheese fries every day, every week.
And if say I pretty can,
yeah, exactly.
I don't need them at all.
You say to live life to the fullest, you say you have to get over the relational mountain range. What did you mean by that?
Well, in every relationship, there's mountains that you have to climb, that you have to conquer. And probably the steepest mountain is what we call the me first mountain. It's just selfishness when you boil it all down. And too many times in relationships, we're just selfish. But when you start living this 1 month to live lifestyle, it causes you to really start thinking about others. And the principles that we have are live passionately, love completely, learn humbly, and leave boldly. But it's that love completely part that's probably the most important, because when it really comes down to it, at the end of our lives, our greatest regrets will be in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And love completely means don't leave anything unsaid, don't leave anything undone. Show it now. Show love now. Say it today. Do whatever you need to do to tell people how you feel about them today. And maybe some of your listeners need to make a phone call to someone and just to tell them how much they love them, how they feel about them. Maybe they need to write a letter to someone that they're grateful toward, that's really helped them in life. And we just say, give it now, show it now, share it now. Don't wait. Do it today. You'll never regret that, because I've never heard anyone on their deathbed say, if only I would have gone skydiving.
Right.
Or if only I would have closed one more deal or made one more sale.
Sure.
But it's always about relationships. It's those little things that we fail to do over time.
You know, you're so right. As you were talking about that, I was thinking, there's somebody who's listening who's saying, I believe that and I want to live that, but you don't know my spouse. You know, they're closed up, they're blocked. What do you say to that person?
Well, you know, I think it's so important to realize that you can't change anyone, but you can allow God to begin changing you. And so many times that does bring about changes in relationships around you. And I think, and we've had so many amazing stories, Jim, with people taking the 1 month to live challenge. We had one woman who had a terrible tragedy right before she took the challenge. Her 22-year-old son had been murdered in college.
Oh my God.
And the young man was convicted of the murder. He was being sentenced, and because of victim's rights, she was allowed to speak to him in the courtroom. And the judge warned her, no cursing, no shouting, but Mrs. McDonough, you can say whatever you want to this man. She stood up there, Jim, and she read this beautiful letter of forgiveness. She said, I choose to forgive you, because if I had 1 month to live, I'd want to forgive everyone, including you. And I forgive you for my sake, because I see Jesus standing next to you, begging me to forgive you. And if somehow you become a saver of lives instead of a destroyer of lives, then maybe my son's death won't have been in vain. And she spent the next 30 days of her 1 month to live challenge mentoring this young man in prison. Oh. She would go to the prison. She would talk to him. She'd write him letters. He made a faith commitment to Christ, was baptized in prison. She still visits him every week. And I asked her, I said, Terry Lynn, how did you have the courage to do it? I can't even imagine that kind of forgiveness, Jim. And she said, well, I didn't know that I could do it, but I stood there and God gave me the power. And I guess that's what I would say to anyone who's in a situation where you can't change the person, or you've been wronged, you've been hurt. It's just ask God to give you the strength, and then step out to give forgiveness. Step out to show love, to do what you need to do, and then God can take it from there. But if God can do that for this woman, to give her the power to forgive, then, you know, I think about relationships in my life that maybe I'm holding back forgiveness, and, you know, that it's really helped me every time I think of Terry Lynn.
I've got chills thinking about that incredible story. What a brave, courageous woman. And she did it right. We need to follow her example. It seems like an oxymoron. You talk about freedom comes from dependence on God. And even in that last story, I mean, she was dependent on God, because when she was standing up there looking at the guy who murdered her son.
Yeah.
But freedom comes from dependence on God. I mean, I want you to talk about the importance of letting God sit in the driver's seat.
Oh, it's so important, because, you know, in my life, too many times I'll start wanting to call the shots. I start wanting to do what I think is going to be the best way, the best path. And too many times, Jim, in my life, I've said, Lord, I've got this little plan laid out and it looks really good and it's going to bring honor to you. Would you come over and stamp your blessing on this plan? And God always says, no, not interested, but you can come join me in what I'm doing in the world. And it's so important that to live the one-month-to-live lifestyle, it all comes down to God's power. And that's why that third principle of learning humbly is so important, because when I humble myself, he gives me his strength and power. See, I really believe, Jim, that God's called me to be a great dad. God's called me to be a great husband. God's called me to be a great pastor. I mean, I feel that in the depth of my soul. But yet every day when I step out to really try to live it out and live an intentional life, I hit a wall, you know, pretty quickly. You know, God wants me to love my wife, but I at times feel selfish and just want to meet my own needs. God wants me to connect with my teenagers, but I'm clueless, you know, many times. And God wants me to be a great pastor at the church, but I don't know what to do next, you know, and I'm fearful. And so that's when I have to get on my knees and say, God, you've got to give me the power to do this. You've got to give me the strength to love Chris. And he gives me that strength to love her unconditionally. He gives me that strength to meet her needs the way she needs and deserves to be loved. And he gives me the wisdom to connect with my kids. And I don't have it all together, and Chris and I certainly haven't arrived, but yet every day for the last year and a half, we've been asking, what would I do if I had 1 month to live? And really, the 1 month to live challenge is very simple. We challenge people to live the next 30 days as if it's their last, not because you're going to die in a month, but because, Lord willing, you're going to live many more years. But if you live the next month as if it's your last, I believe at the end of the 30 days, you'll be more alive than you've ever been. Even if you make a couple of little changes, it can change everything.
You've made a believer out of me, and I actually believe that by living on purpose like you're talking about, it leaves an incredible legacy. Thank you so much for being with us. You got to come back because we've got a lot more to talk about.
That'd be great, Jim.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with pastor and author Kerry Shook here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been talking about 30 Days to a No-Regrets Life. Kerry and his wife, Chris, are the authors of the book 1 Month to Live. And we've got a link to it on our website today at homeward.com if you want to learn more about that. Also, if you'd like to get the audio CD, I'll have information on that in just a moment. But first, though, Jim, you've got some closing thoughts to share, and they're so very, very important for us as parents especially, because a lot of times we have problems with our kids, and we wonder, well, how is it that they didn't learn this from us? I mean, I've been telling them, and yet you're quick to point out that we have to do more than just talk the talk. We really have to walk the walk.
And they're doing a lot more than just listening to us talk. I mean, they're paying close attention to the rhythm of our lives. So if you suspect that your priorities could use an adjustment, well, I want to encourage you to do just what Kerry Shook and I have been talking about earlier in the program. You know, start viewing your priorities as if you only had 30 days left to live. Since reading that book, I really have put that into my own life, and it's been very interesting. I think my hugs have gotten a little stronger.
Sure.
There's been more kid time with my girls.
Right.
And more times of just saying to Kathy, I love you, I appreciate you, and it's a good way to
just
live.
Because,
frankly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a good way to live. I think you're going to be surprised at how some of those priorities just might wind up changing. I mean, it has for me. Well, I want to conclude today's program with some life lessons from a man named Brother Jeremiah. I believe he was a Catholic monk. I don't know the exact story behind him, but it's an incredible story, and I want you to read this. It's actually one of my favorite little stories. If I had my life to live over again, this is Brother Jeremiah, I'd try to make more mistakes next time. I would relax. I would limber up. I would be sillier than I've been on this trip. I know of very few things that I would take seriously. I would take more trips, I would climb more mountains, I would swim more rivers and watch more sunsets. I would do more walking and looking, I would eat more ice cream and less beans. And I always laugh at that one, Roger.
Yeah.
I would have more actual troubles and fewer imaginary ones. That brings it right back. I would have more actual troubles and fewer imaginary ones. Well, you see, I'm one of these people who live sensibly and sanely hour after hour, day after day. Oh, I've had my moments, he says, and if I had to do it over again, I'd have more of them. In fact, I'd try to have nothing else, just moments, one after another, instead of living so many years ahead of time. If I had my life to live over again, I would start barefooted earlier in the spring, and I'd stay that way later in the fall. I would play more, I would ride more merry-go-rounds, and I'd pick more daisies. But the fact was is that he was dying of cancer, and he didn't have more time. Well, don't wait to the end of your life to start enjoying the rest of your life.
Boy, that's powerful wisdom and great insight. By the way, if you'd like to get a copy of that poem, that verse that Dr. Jim Burns was just sharing, go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media section. It's Life Lessons from Brother Jeremiah. That's the tip sheet. It's free. And you can read it online. You can print it out. You can download it, share it with your friends, do whatever you'd like to do with it. Also, I mentioned this is part one of a two-part conversation. We stream the audio at homeward.com. There's no cost for that. You can sign up to podcast along with us. Go to the homeward.com radio broadcast tab, and there's a link there for podcasting. And we cut through all the gook, so you just have to just kind of you go right to iTunes and you can start your subscription there as well. Also, if you'd like a copy of the audio CD, we'll thank you for a gift of any amount in support of our ministry today and send you one if you contact us. Just go to homeward.com for more information. That's HOMEWORD.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.